Open five.
Open five.
Open five.
Open five.
Open five.
Open five.
Hey everybody, this is Daytime Doug with the Open Fire Show. Our call-in number is 206-202-3579. Give it a call, give us a shout, let us know what you think, let your voice be heard. You can catch the podcast at openfire.podomatic.com or go to our website at www.msnusers.com/openfireradioshow. Join the website, use the message boards, use the chat room. Take a look at all the neat stuff we got going on. We got giveaways coming up. We've got great topics, great guests, great music, and great fun. So stick around with us and open fire.
Open fire. 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 Fire.
To another edition of Open Fire. I'm your show host, Daytime Doug. You're going to hear me say this in my podcast for the next couple of months. We're taking a survey of our listeners, and we'd like you to participate. It will help us learn more about you, no matter how long you've been a listener or how frequently you listen to this podcast. So please take a few minutes and visit our website at www.msnusers.com/openfireradioshow. You'll find the listener survey link right on the homepage, and you can complete the survey anonymously. Thanks.
Do it now.
Hey, we left off on our last show. We're talking about the death toll summary. As of December 11th, the confirmed death toll stands at 1,383. Mainly from Louisiana, which had 1,075, and Mississippi, 230. This number includes often omitted deaths in Ohio, which had 2, and Kentucky had 1, and among evacuees, 57. Direct deaths indicate those caused by the direct effects of the winds, flooding, storm surge, or oceanic effects of Katrina. Indirect deaths indicate those caused by hurricane-related accidents, including car accidents, fires, or other accidents, as well as cleanup accidents and health issues. Senator David Bitter of Louisiana estimated the fatalities in Louisiana alone could be 10,000. The true death toll is still unknown. Government authorities have been slow to search for the hundreds in St. Bernard's Parish and some Louisiana towns who could have been washed out to sea by a 30-foot surge of water. However, the New Orleans Times newspaper ran a story in November noting that 5,000 missing in New Orleans residents alone are still unaccounted for. Whether most of these Americans are dead is unknown, and Congress is not investigating. After protracted arguments over who would handle the cost, DNA testing began in early December to identify approximately 263 bodies that could not be identified by other means. On September 6th, FEMA stopped allowing journalists to accompany rescuers searching for victims, saying they would take up too much space. At the same time, FEMA requested that journalists stop taking pictures of dead bodies. News organizations have filed suit in federal court claiming a violation of the First Amendment's freedom of the press. In the face of the lawsuit, FEMA has since countermanded this request. On September 9th, FEMA ordered 50,000 body bags in addition to the 25,000 previously ordered. On September 13th, officials announced that negligent homicide charges had been filed against the owners of a New Orleans nursing home where the dead bodies of 34 residents apparently drowned were found. Some of the health concerns, aside from the lack of water, food, and shelter and sanitation facilities, there was a concern that the prolonged flooding might lead to an outbreak of health problems for those who remained in the hurricane-affected area. addition to dehydration and food poisoning, there was a potential for communicable disease outbreaks of diarrhea and respiratory illness, all related to the growing contamination of food and drinking water supplies in the area. President Bush declared an emergency for the entire Gulf Coast. Before the hurricane, government health officials prepared to respond, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention began sending medical emergency supplies to locations near the worst-hit area within 48 hours after landfall. Supplies shipped by the CDC's Strategic National Stockpile provided pharmaceuticals, technical assistance, teams, and treatment capacity for citizens otherwise stranded by the hurricane's catastrophic effect on hospital infrastructure in Louisiana and Mississippi. The CDC supplies served an estimated 30 acute care hospitals south of Interstate Highway 10, and volunteers organized around its contingency stations to become temporary stand-ins for hospitals, warehouses, and distribution facilities damaged by the storm. Alongside strong responses from state and local medical teams, CDC support remained crucial until normal infrastructure support began to return a week and a half later.
It's going to change.
Within days after landfall, medical authorities established contingency treatment facilities for over 10,000 people, and plans to treat thousands more were developing. Partnerships with commercial medical suppliers, shipping companies, and support service companies ensured that evolving medical needs could be met within days or even hours. There is concern the chemical plants and refineries in the area could have released pollutants into the floodwaters. People who suffer from allergies or lung disorders such as asthma may have health complications due to toxic mold and airborne irritants, leading to what some health officials have dubbed Katrina cough. In Gulfport, Mississippi, several hundred tons of chicken and uncooked shrimp were washed out of their containers at the nearby harbor and could have contaminated the water table. On September 6, 2005, it was reported that E. coli had been detected at unsafe levels in the waters that flooded New Orleans. The CDC reported on September 7th that 5 people had died of bacterial infection from drinking water contaminated with a bacterium formed from the Gulf of Mexico. As with any major disaster, animals are affected as well as human beings. In the case during Katrina, no order to support total animal evacuation was given. Helicopter pilots and rescue boat captains had refused to load pets in order to hold more people. Many families in the affected area refused to evacuate without their pets. Some field hospitals allowed pets to enter with their patients. However, those who were evacuated from the Superdome were not allowed to take their pets with them. Rescue teams were set up in the worst-hit regions in response to desperate pleas from pet owners. Horses posed a particular problem, as they are easily stranded and cannot stand in water for long periods of time. Rescue agencies set up shelters and tried to find homes to adopt pets lost by their owners. Rescue centers were becoming overwhelmed in the days immediately following the hurricane. Online resources such as the animals911.com, clearinghouse for Hurricane Katrina Animal Rescue and Relief, gave rescue groups, individuals, and businesses from around the country a centralized venue to publish their offers and requests for helping the animals displaced by Hurricane Katrina. Most of the 10,000 fish at the New Orleans Aquarium of the Americas died because of the backup power ran out after 4 days. Curators had abandoned the aquarium and the police used it as an emergency base. Most of the marine animals and large sea turtles survived. Audubon Zoo lost only 3 animals out of a total of 1,400 due to good disaster planning and location on high ground. Zoo curator Dan Maloney was quoted as saying the zoo had planned for years for the catastrophic storm that has long been predicted for New Orleans. The response of the American public was unprecedented. The Humane Society of the United States had received $15 million in donations within 2 weeks after the hurricane occurred. The HSUS, in conjunction with the Louisiana SPCA and other groups, has hundreds of staff and volunteers working in LA and MS. As of September 20, 2005, 6,031 animals were rescued and 400 were reunited with their owners. Reports of price gouging. Hundreds of reports were made to Louisiana authorities and elsewhere regarding sharp increases in prices on products like gasoline and bottled water, or of hotels failing to honor reservations in favor of accepting larger offers for rooms by desperate travelers. The three major U.S. television networks' nightly news programs showed images of a BP gas station selling gas for over $6 a gallon. Another BP station in Stockbridge, Georgia, south of Atlanta, was selling gas at $5.87 a gallon, less than a day after Katrina hit. Gas prices in the U.S. just prior to Katrina were in the range of $2.50 per gallon. During this time, the average price of gas per gallon has reached a new all-time high. The rapid price increase exacerbated the oil price increases of 2004 and 2005. Some of the wage issues. On September 9th of 2005, President George W. Bush issued Proclamation 7924 to suspend Subchapter 5 of Chapter 31 of Title 40, United States Code, within a limited geographic area in response to the national emergency caused by Hurricane Katrina, which indefinitely suspended the Davis-Macon Act. This law mandates that workers on federal construction projects be paid at least the prevailing local wage. There are also rumors of suspension of the McNamara-O'Hara Service Contract Act. Some critics feel that allowing the government to pay less than the prevailing rate will increase the poverty in the area through lower wages. How the many victims of Katrina will cope with rate reduction is unknown. The economic loss will force many survivors into bankruptcy. Those with jobs will have to pay if their income is 100 over the state's median income. Louisiana and Mississippi have some of the lowest median incomes in the nation, requiring Katrina victims to pay creditors. In most United States, people with similar incomes will pay nothing. On October 26, 2005, President Bush reinstated the Davis-Bacon Act amid political pressure from both Democrats and Republicans in Congress. Causes of the levee failures. System design flaws and lack of adequate maintenance helped contribute to the massive levee failures. Those responsible for the conception, design, construction, and maintenance of the region's flood control system apparently failed to pay sufficient attention to public safety, according to an investigation by the National Science Foundation. According to new model and field observations by a team from Louisiana State University, the Mississippi River Gulf Outlet, or MRGO, is a 200-meter wide canal designed to provide a shortcut from New Orleans to the Gulf of Mexico. It provided a funnel for the storm surge, making it 20% higher and 100 to 200% faster as it crashed into the city. The St. Bernard Parish, which was one of the most devastated areas, lies just south of the MRGO. The Army Corps of Engineers disputes this casualty and maintains Katrina would have overwhelmed the levees with or without the contributing effect of the MRGO. Opponents of the MRGO have been lobbying for its closure since the expected shipping traffic it was designed for has never materialized. Now we get to the all-important disaster response.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
Some disaster recovery response to Katrina began before the storm, with Federal Emergency Management Agency preparations that range from logistical supply deployments to a mortuary team with refrigerated trucks. A network of volunteers have been rendering assistance to local residents and residents emerging from New Orleans and surrounding parishes. In accordance with federal law, President George W. Bush directed Secretary Michael Chertoff of the Department of Homeland Security to coordinate the federal response.
Deliverer! Yes, he has delivered you to death!
Chertoff designated Michael D. Brown, head of FEMA, as the principal federal official to lead the deployment and coordination of all federal response resources and forces in the Gulf Coast region. However, the President and Secretary Chertoff have come under harsh criticism from many Americans, particularly in the media, for their lack of planning and coordination. 8 days later, Brown was recalled to Washington, and Coast Guard Vice Admiral Thad W. Allen replaced him as Chief of Hurricane Relief Operations. 3 days after the recall, Michael D. Brown resigned as Director of FEMA, in spite of having received praise from George W. Bush.
Cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, far-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-legged, worm-headed sack of monkey shit.
The United States Northern Command established Joint Task Force Katrina, based out of Camp Shelby, Mississippi, to act as the military's on-scene command on Sunday, August 28. Lieutenant General of the U.S. 1st Army in Fort Glenn, Georgia, is the commander. The U.S. Senate approved a bill authorizing $10.5 billion in aid for victims on September 1, 2005. The U.S. House of Representatives voted and approved on the measure Friday, September 2, 2005, without any debate. Bush signed it into law an hour later. On September 7th, another $51.8 billion in additional to the original $10.5 billion was proposed by President Bush to fund disaster relief. In addition to asking for federal funds, President Bush has enlisted the help of former Presidents Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush to raise additional voluntary contributions, much as they did after the 2004 Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami. On September 3rd, Governor Blanco hired James Lee Witt, the former FEMA director during the Clinton administration, to oversee the recovery efforts in Louisiana. And that's all we've got time for today, and tomorrow we'll get to the federal response to this disaster and how they responded or didn't respond. And we'd like to ask now that hurricane victims call the show at 206-202-3579 and tell us your story. Anybody who's felt the effects of Katrina or any national disaster, we want to hear from you. Here at Open Fire, we're always interested in your thoughts, comments, and opinions. Plus, we want your feedback. Call Daytime Doug at Open Fire today. See you tomorrow.
Open Fire.
Open Fire.
Open Fire.
Open Fire.
Hey everybody, this is Daytime Doug with the Open Fire Show. Our call-in number is 206-202-3579. Give it a call, give us a shout, let us know what you think, let your voice be heard. You can catch the podcast at openfire.podomatic.com or go to our website at www.msnusers.com/openfireradioshow. Join the website, use the message boards, use the chat room. Take a look at all the neat stuff we got going on. We got giveaways coming up. We've got great topics, great guests, great music, and great fun. So stick around with us and open fire.
Open fire. 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 Fire.